eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Champions League match day 2, and we got some cracking games to go over. Jimmy Conrad is in the house as we discuss match day 2 of the Champions League. Que Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Que Golazo. It's so great to see you, to hear you, or the other way around, vice versa. If you're in audio, thank you so much. If you're in video, thank you so much. Jimmy Conrad is in the house. We're talking Champions League, our massive preview. Plenty of matches, including PSG against Man City, Juventus, Chelsea, Manchester United, Villarreal, and so much, much more. First of all, Jimmy Conrad, how are you, brother?
I am great, LME, and hopefully everybody is doing well that's listening or watching. This is going to be a great week, like always, and we have a marquee matchup. I mean, if anybody secretly wanted the Super League, right, and we're like, didn't want to say it publicly to their friends, but kind of like the Super League idea, we've got it for you this week. PSG versus Manchester City. Inject it straight into my oil money veins.
I love it. Yeah, if you're under 19 years old, you totally won the Super League. Don't even lie about it. But we got plenty of games, as Jimmy was talking about. We're going to discuss them all. And by the way, thank you so much for being part of the family. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us to grow the show. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, of course. Press that notification bell so you get all those new episodes just like this one. Let's begin, Jimmy Conrad, and talk about that big oil money. This is a big one. This is like the seats are made of gold in this game. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's Paris Saint-Germain against Manchester City. The storylines here are everywhere. Lionel Messi is back training. We're hearing reports that Donnarumma will take over Keylor Navas, he says very annoyingly, in goal for PSG. But Man City looking good after that win over Chelsea. So much to discuss. As you look at this game, Jimmy Conrad, what are your initial thoughts? What are you thinking?
Well, my initial thoughts are very Super League-esque, you know, because there's so much talent on this field. And I wonder, I hope somebody does this for us, or somebody hit us up at Que Golazo Pod on Twitter. How much money are these starting 11s worth when they actually go out there? How much money are they worth? Because I'm quite curious as to what that final number would be. I want to say, LME, that it'd be over $1 billion. It's got to be close to that. Now, I know some of the guys came in for free.
General budget of a small European nation.
Well, that's funny. I think PSG is owned by a small, well, not a European nation, but owned by a small nation. So with regard to this game in particular, the last time these two faced each other was in the Champions League semifinals last season. And I'll be honest, that feels like a lifetime ago. Yeah. We had the Euros, Copa America, Gold Cup, really Olympics, a really long summer of other storylines that have emerged. And when you bring up Donnarumma, I mean, he was the MVP and the most valuable player for Italy during their Euro championship run. So the fact that he's only played two games so far kind of makes me like Mauricio Pochettino a little bit, because I assume he thought, I'm going to come in. Keylor Navas, yeah, he's old. I'm going to start. I'm 22. I'm the guy. Look at me. And Mauricio Pochettino's kind of like, nah, you got to earn it, you know? And so he's played twice against Clermont Foot and against Lyon. And that's he's given one goal to Lyon, but otherwise has a clean sheet. It's interesting. This is the biggest game of the season. And so from Mauricio Pochettino to lean to Donnarumma is interesting. I think actually from a PSG standpoint, they didn't have Idrissa Gueye in their first game of the group stages, where they drew 1-1 surprisingly with Club Brugge. He makes a difference. And I think that's going to be the biggest key from Mauricio Pochettino and PSG moving forward. How do you balance your team? Now, as you mentioned, Messi's back in training. So is Marco Verratti, who for me is probably real MVP of this team, because he's going to have to be able to transition the ball from defense to attack. And they're not doing that so well. And I say this because when Verratti isn't there, now Ander Herrera, Idrissa Gueye, very good hard workers, make life difficult. And you need those guys on the field. You can't have 11 luxury players. You need a couple guys that are just going to get into the trenches and make plays.
Yeah.
But Verratti is a little bit of both, you know, and he helps transition the team. The problem is when you don't have a Verratti out there, or if you have Di Maria playing inside, or even a Draxler, where they like being out wide and cutting in, you're forcing Messi or Mbappe or Neymar to drop back to get the ball a little bit deeper when you really want to get the ball to them as close to the attacking third as possible. So keep an eye on Verratti when he comes into this one.
That to me is the key. That to me is
so key.
Yeah, before you go on, I just want to...
No, go ahead. I could talk about this game all day. It's amazing.
No, because the reason why I think Verratti needs to stick around in this conversation, or at the very least the midfield, is like that's exactly what happened against Brugge. I mean, obviously, there's so much firepower, but they weren't quick enough on the the moment they lost the ball. And that's where you really need somebody to just lead. And I remember you mentioned Sergio Ramos as well previously about how you just need a general, a leader. Verratti's one of those players as well. By the way, Pochettino's hinting that Messi won't start. Jimmy Conrad, he said, I think he will be in the squad, but I still have not decided the starting 11. He was a little upset actually in the press conference. Obviously he was saying, look, he's the best player in the world, but he's got to adapt to culture. You know, everybody needs time, etc. Okay, fair enough. But it's Lionel Messi. And it's not like he just arrived yesterday, right? And it's not like he's not alien to the European game. And to your point, the biggest game of PSG's season right now. So I get what Pochettino's saying, but what do you make of, you know, obviously if he's not 100%, that's a different conversation. But what do you make of this sort of beginning of Lionel Messi's journey with PSG?
I'm actually quite surprised, Elamy, that we are here, what, a month in to him being available to play, or maybe a little bit less than that. And he still hasn't scored, hasn't really put his stamp on things. Maybe he's trying to find his way in terms of where he's going to pick up the ball. Maybe the spaces that he goes to look for it, Neymar and or Mbappe are in those spaces. Maybe he just doesn't like playing with Mauro Icardi. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things, and there's a lot of nice backstory between those two players there that they don't like each other. Messi doesn't.
Maybe
like
Antonella so. Is just giving him too many options for the wallpaper in the living room, and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I am quite surprised that he hasn't hit the back of the net or done something Messi-esque, right? Like weaving through four players and laying it off to somebody for an easy tap in or whatever. So I'm curious. And now it looks like he might be a super sub in this one. Not the worst thing, right? And I think that if you brought him on with 30 minutes left to go, because it's the Champions League, maybe he would elevate that performance and we'll see. I don't know. It's interesting. But I think that the way that PSG play obviously is going to be different than Barcelona. Even when Barcelona doesn't have their Xavi and Iniestas, there's still a methodology and a philosophy and a DNA that still exists within the club. And now he's going somewhere else where that doesn't exist. And yes, there's a lot of world-class players around him, but if the flow and rhythm isn't the same, it is going to take him a while. We see it with the Argentina national team for many, many, many years. He goes back there and it's just like, why is it Messi doing Messi things? Yeah. Because it's just not the same.
What made it even worse is just all the hype that surrounded this arrival. Okay, you had the drone going in through the store at Paris Saint-Germain. You had that huge sort of introduction at the stadium. All these things. And now, to your point, like nothing much is happening. So that's been... Well, we talked about PSG a lot here. Manchester City are feeling good. They just beat Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel. Things are going their way, despite the fact that they didn't get Harry Kane. They're clicking. Of course, they have a tremendous set of attacking players. Pep has the luxury of resting some of them, at least this past weekend. So what do you make of Man City coming here and seeing what they can do against PSG?
Yeah, this is a good one. I think they started off their week very well, obviously going to Stamford Bridge and getting the results. They didn't give up any shots on goal to that Chelsea team. And yes, we kind of took a couple shots at Tuchel for maybe his lineup selections or his formation ahead of that game. But Romelu Lukaku, I mean, you'd put money on him at least getting one shot through 90 minutes or any of those players. And I do think when I looked at Chelsea's lineup, just to go back into that a second, because we didn't talk about it on the recap, they had Jorginho, Kovacic, and Conte in that midfield. And they didn't have that, same as PSG, right? They didn't have that one link-up player. They didn't have the Mason Mount. They didn't have potentially have a Ziyech inside or even a Pulisic. Somebody inside that can kind of break the lines with some running and can do it consistently. That's what they're known for. Mm. But they had like a really holding three. And this is where I think Man City can take advantage, because if Verratti doesn't play for PSG, it's going to look really similar. Now, that said, I don't think Laporte's going to start. I think he's going to save him for Liverpool this upcoming weekend. And I think John Stones is going to get his first significant action. And this is a big game to get some first significant action. The thing is, and if they can harken back to that first leg of the Champions League semifinals, and if you remember, it was in Paris, that first half, honestly, I think we came on here and talked about it. That was the best half I'd seen PSG play that whole season.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
And
yeah.
The reason, though, it was less about, now obviously, when you combine world-class talent with hard work and industriousness, that's the kind of performance you're going to see. And it just felt like in those 45 minutes, PSG wanted it more. What's scary about Man City is they came back and scored two goals to win it in the second half. And sure, Keylor Navas could have done a little bit better, and some of it were kind of lucky goals. But PSG took their foot off the gas, and that's what allowed City to get back into it. So if PSG can kind of tap into that, I think that Pep's going to remind them of that first half, and I think they're going to be up for it. And I think that they have set some goals. Knowing what we've seen about Pep behind the scenes, documentary stuff, he wants to be lights out defensively. And even though they shipped three goals against RB Leipzig, they scored six the last match day. So there is some ways to get at them, but I just feel like there's been a gauntlet that's been thrown to these guys. Let's be nails defensively. We're going to get some of the best attacking players in the world. Let's make sure we put our stamp on things. I actually like City a little bit more in this game, even though PSG's unbeaten, undefeated in Liga, and obviously didn't lose match day one to Club Brugge, but...
That's what we're going right next. I'll give you a very quick segment here to just give me your quick betting tips. By the way, PSG in all the four games against Man City, they have failed to keep a clean sheet. So maybe a goal is definitely in the cards for Manchester City. The question will be, can PSG double that or, you know, supersede that in order to win? Quick betting tips from you, Jimmy Conrad.
God, it's tough. I'm so excited about how Man City looked against Chelsea, especially on the defensive side of the ball. To get a clean sheet about against these guys, I don't know. Every time I look at a score sheet, this is not me not being very quick, LME, when you just asked me to be quick. But when I look at the score sheet for PSG every single weekend, I'm like, okay, I'm looking for Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi. And then every week it's Ander Herrera, Idrissa Gueye, Mauro Icardi. Like, where are the big three, you know? So I'm very curious. And from Mauricio Pochettino's perspective, this is why we assembled this team. It's this Avengers team for you so that you can go on and win this competition. And if they're dropping more points, especially at home, I know it's the biggest game against the biggest opponent, but God, maybe a draw is the play here. PSG plus 200 to win, plus 255 for the draw, and City are the favorites on Caesars Sportsbook, plus 129.
With both teams to score, you would think.
Both teams to score, I could add that in for sure. That elevates the whole process. Plus 400.
I don't see a stalemate here. I just don't.
Yeah.
It could be. I remember I was just checking my notes from the website of our predictions, and I gave Man City the win 2-1. I think that PSG will win that first half, though. I think there'll be 1-0 up, and then Man City will wake up as the game develops. That's just my...
But then you have potentially Verratti, who should be in the squad, and Messi coming off the bench in the second half.
But to your point, Donnarumma in goal is going to be a major thing as well, because you know he's going to want to light. Donnarumma is going to want to show everybody why Donnarumma is there.
That's fair. That's a great point. That's a nice one. So what's interesting is plus 255 for the draw straight up is the highest odds of those three. But when you go to match result and both teams to score, the draw becomes the second favorite. So it goes to plus 320. So it's almost like the bookies recognize.
So what do you have?
Yeah, okay. The Donnarumma one is a nice ad there. You got me on that one. And he's obviously going to want to prove that he's the guy.
Every now and again, I come up with a gem.
I'll go one or two. I can get both at plus 320 there.
I was so close on going 2-0, Jimmy, but I'm going to give it to Man City 2-1. But I was
plus 290 if you want City to win and both teams to score.
Well, all right, well, let's move on here because we got plenty of action here. And let's discuss, of course, another big game here. AC Milan against Atletico Madrid. That's Olivier Giroud against Antoine Griezmann, of course. Griezmann, 8 games this season, 5 with Atleti. No goals, no assists, no shots on target.
So I don't even know why you brought up Griezmann in this one. Like, he's not going to be a factor, clearly.
Okay, so talk to me about AC Milan because they, you know, they did get a win this time around and they're looking to reinvent themselves in the Champions League, I guess. And now they face Atletico Madrid, who, by the way, lost as well this past weekend. It's a cagey one, this one, I feel.
Yeah, it's going to be cagey. Obviously, Atletico Madrid in these particular situations away from home in the Champions League under Diego Simeone, we're like, yeah, this is a 0-0. Yeah, it's got 0-0 written all over it. Milan, no Zlatan. He still has an Achilles injury. He's going to be out until after the international break. You got no Florenzi as well, who I think provides experience, of course, a long time in Italian international, but on that right side where I think that Milan can get after them a little bit. Now, what I really liked about Milan is that 5 to 6 or 7 minutes they played against Liverpool at Anfield, where they scored 2 goals. I was like, this Milan team is no joke. Now it's just a matter of, can Stefano Pioli, the manager of Milan, can he extend that 5 or 6 minutes and make that a half or even 30 minutes? That's going to be the big challenge for this team is can they maintain that momentum? They look so good. Liverpool had no answers. And to do that against that type of Liverpool team with that type of experience at Anfield was nothing short of impressive. Now, they
so you're
hold
expecting
on to it,
the
though.
Same against Atletico Madrid because they're such an aggressive team, right? You know, you would think that because the thing that I saw from Pioli is that he was trying to fight fire with fire. He was like, all right, Liverpool, you're going to press? We're going to press. And we're going to do it even more. Do you see that happening here?
That's going to be a big test because what I do like about Milan, which I think is a strength, but also at times can be a weakness, is that they're young.
Yeah.
And I think Diego Simeone and his old veterans are like, yeah, we're just going to kick the crap out of you. And then we'll see what you're made of. You know, that's kind of the Atleti special. We're going to crush you. And every single time you get the ball, you're going to get kicked. And if you still beat us, then, hey, fair enough. You survived our style. But a lot of teams don't survive that. And frankly, their team doesn't either. I always feel like when they're struggling, you can feel like there's these invisible handcuffs on some of their players from being creative or taking risk because they know they're going to get an earful from Simeone at some point behind the scenes. But quickly back to Milan, I loved how they responded after losing that game to Liverpool. They picked up 7 points from the next 3 matches. They went into Turin and got a point, a 1-1 draw with Juve. They've won their 3 home matches this season in all competitions. They scored 8 goals in the process. So I think they're going to be a handful. Now, it's really to your point. Will Giroud start? Rebic has been very good for them. And he was good against Liverpool as well, kind of running those channels and making it hard. So that left side with Theo Hernandez on the left, who just bombs forward with reckless abandon for AC Milan. You got Rebic, who seems like a Rebic, who's going to sound like he's going to be at the left side against Kieran Trippier, right? I mean, that's kind of the matchup that I'm looking at and who's going to slide over to help kind of make sure those numerical advantages. That's my favorite thing.
The last time these two faced was the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League 2013-2014, where AC Milan lost. So it's not like we have a huge resume of games here that we can take from note. And so it's going to be intriguing. So the individual matchups are key. I was looking at the midfield, Jimmy Conrad, because this is going to be like boxers in there in the middle, I feel. Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm a big Frank Kessier fan. And so him going up against some of the toughest guys, you know, you have Llorente, you have Koke, you have Rodrigo de Paul, you got Carrasco, and Joao Felix, I don't know, Luis Suarez. This is going to be great matchups, you know, so I'm really excited. There's good, great matchups all over the field. My issue with Los Cochineros, as Atleti's known, they've only won two out of their last 6. And both of those 2 wins were scored in injury time of those games. And Atletico lost to Alaves this weekend, and Alaves hadn't won in their previous 5 games. and what I guess gives me even more concern is that Atleti had, and this is an Atleti team that doesn't care about having possession. Atleti had 70% possession. Do you know how many shots on goal they got with 70% possession? One. One shot on goal with 70% possession. And that makes me nervous because...
And we talked about their firepower so much as well. Like,
we're not talking about a bunch of chumps out there. We're talking Suarez, Griezmann, you know, guys that know how to hit the back of the net, done it at the highest of levels. And you can only muster one shot on goal with 70% possession. Just shoot from 30 yards and put it on frame. I don't even care. That's ridiculous.
Give me your quick betting tips on this one, then. What do you think?
Okay, with all that said, I think it's still a draw.
I have a draw as well, but I have a high-scoring draw. I don't know why I did that. I feel like there's going to be a lot of vulnerability here. I had it as 2-0. Am I insane?
No, well, 2-all feels... I don't know where you think Atleti's going to score the goals.
I don't know. I think I was drunk when I wrote that prediction.
This is the group of death, too. So Liverpool are on top of 3 points. Atleti and Porto drew on match day 1 with 1 each, and then Milan obviously lost 3-2 to Liverpool. So this is where it gets delicate. Every game is so important here. All these points are really important, which makes me feel like Atleti going to be even more conservative. I like the drop plus 210.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, some other games on Tuesday, by the way, as our producer Des Norris will share it on the screen. These are the early kickoffs for Tuesday, by the way. Ajax, who are absolutely killing everybody, by the way. They're just scoring for fun. I think I don't have the full stats yet, but I think it's 250 goals in the space of a week or something.
Yeah, they're unreal.
I'm just kidding about that, but they're scoring a lot though. Ajax against Besiktas, Shakhtar against Inter Milan as well, and then the later games, Leipzig, Jesse Marsh against Brugge, and Porto Liverpool, that should be a good one, and Borussia Dortmund and Sporting and Real Madrid against Sheriff. So those are anything from those games before we take a break, Jimmy. What do you think? Anything from those games?
Yeah, really quick. Ajax Besiktas. Ajax won the first one. Besiktas lost. A really important game for Besiktas. If you lose your first two games out of six, and it's Ajax not looking good for you. Ajax are sick. Erik ten Hag, the manager. If any managerial jobs open up, he should be near the top of the list, in my humble opinion. Shakhtar, Inter Milan. Inter lost, if you remember, on a late goal to Real Madrid at home.
Yep.
They have to get all 3 points here. I really feel like if they want to really get into the top two, especially against Shakhtar. RB Leipzig, Jesse Marsh, can he build off of that 6-0 win against Hertha Berlin? I hope so. Against Club Brugge, they should. So this is one of the games where they should, and hopefully he delivers. Porto Liverpool is really interesting for me because Liverpool just dropped points, let's just say it, against Brentford this week.
And Porto undefeated.
The one thing I'll add for this, and make sure you look at the starting lineups first before you make any bets if you're interested in this one. Porto are going to be without Pepe, I think is out with an injury, and Chancel Mbemba, their other starting center back, because he got a red card in match day one.
All right.
So just something to keep in mind that I think Liverpool could run riot here. Could is the key word here. Could run riot because Porto doesn't have the same type of depth that Liverpool has. Also, I just think that there's going to be a response to giving up 3 goals against a Brentford team. Now, that Porto has a lot of similar traits. They're going to fight and scratch for everything. So something to keep in mind.
And Dortmund, at home as well, they're going to be wanting to prove a point. Yeah. By the way, Ajax, since beating Sporting 5-1 in the opening game, these are their results. 9-0, 5-0, 3-0 in all competitions. They're just scoring for fun. And here's the hashtag untimely stat from our producer, Des Norris. Lucho Suarez hasn't scored on the road in 25 Champions League matches.
That's wild to me. Yeah, he's got to break that duck at some point. Quack, quack. But I will say, with regard to scoring goals in the Champions League, keeping an eye on Erling Haaland, obviously, against Sporting Clube de Portugal.
He's going to get a brace. We know that much.
They also lost this past weekend to Borussia Mönchengladbach. I think there's going to be a response there. And then Madrid versus Sheriff. They're tied at the top of the table in their group. So I'm curious to see if Sheriff can come in and bing, 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 try to take something off of Madrid.
Come on, Sheriff.
I think that Madrid are probably going to score a lot of goals in this one. So
as long as my Peruvian Gustavo Lelanto gets a header or something, I'll be happy. We're going to take a quick break, by the way. And when we come back, we're doing Wednesday's action in the Champions League. Don't go anywhere. Que Golazo Champions League preview. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Welcome back to the Champions League preview from Que Golazo with Jimmy Conrad in the hizzy. And here we begin with another massive one. This week is crazy. But then again, we say that, but it's really crazy every match day. But Juventus against Chelsea. A few injury issues for Juventus, by the way. Paulo Dybala, Alvaro Morata, they are out. So, you know, it'll be intriguing to see. Romelu Lukaku, by the way, returns to Italy as Juventus host Chelsea. What do you see here, Jimmy Conrad? This is a good game, but I don't know why I see a stalemate. Convince me that I'm wrong.
Chelsea, I think, have a tendency of getting under 2.5 goals, no matter when they play, especially against the biggest teams and in European competition.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind when you look at any type of betting. But let's just get into the analysis here. Without Dybala, who I thought was very bright this past weekend, they got Kulusevski, who actually came in and had an assist. He can be good when he has time to run at teams. The problem is when you play against Chelsea, they stack you up in a way. So make sure you notice this. Look at the wingbacks. Because you have, and it looks like Reece James is going to be out for a while, so Azpilicueta is going to probably be starting in that wingback spot. He gets out there to slow those initial runs. So it's going to be really important for Kulusevski and Chiesa on the other side to get it going. But then on the other side, you have where I think where they can get a, maybe Chilwell will come in here because for defensive purposes, he's a lot better than Marcus Alonso, who just, he's like an Ole defender, right? He goes, Ole, and he just run right past him. You know, and Alonso doesn't want to defend.
And then he just mashes a goal every now and again.
He does. Yeah. No, he definitely does it on the attacking side, but on defensive, I'm always like, Marcus Alonso, not a good defender. I don't know why they call him defender, but there's space there. I think Chiesa can take advantage, but the problem, what Chelsea do really well, even if it is Marcus Alonso, and even if it is a wingback, like a Hudson Odoi, who doesn't normally play wingback, they're there to slow that run down. And when they get the ball, those players are already under pressure. And so if they beat that first player, they're going to run into that big center back who's waiting right behind them. And that's where Chelsea does a very good job of slowing the rhythm of teams like Juventus down. So that makes me a little bit nervous for Juve in this particular game. Now, Juve's have won back-to-back league games, so they're starting to move back up the table. The problem is they haven't had a clean sheet. I want to reiterate this. I said it in the recap of podcast yesterday. They haven't had a clean sheet in Serie A since March 2nd. Yeah, and that's not a good vibe, Elamy. They have to figure out that side of it. And I think if they want to beat a team like Chelsea, you also have to have Szczesny in goal standing on his head. You need a hot goalkeeper to win any type of trophy and to get through competitions. So this is going to be an interesting one, especially because Tuchel doesn't find himself usually losing games. And so how are they going to respond to that? And who is he going to start? And who is he going to really try to unlock a little bit? I do think, and I'm going to say it again, that they missed somebody to link up. It seems like Mason Mount was still going to be hurt, but they need somebody in that midfield. If they go with Kovacic and N'Golo Kante and Jorginho, and I think Jorginho might've got a bit of a knock. I don't know if he's going to start this one, but who's going to help kind of transition the team? And that's going to be a big one. Cause if Juve sees it and they don't really have any players, then they can sit on those wide guys a little bit more and make it hard. And I think we could see, to your point, a stifled attack from both sides, which means it's probably going to lead to a stalemate.
It's weird to me that Tuchel sometimes doesn't think, and listen, who am I to question Tuchel? But like, if you have this double pivot, if you use a double pivot with Chelsea, why don't you have Timo Werner just behind Lukaku? I feel like that could be an answer. It doesn't really happen. But to your point earlier from previous matches, Chelsea need a response here because obviously they lost to Man City and they want to do well in the Champions League. But so does Juventus and Max Allegri, especially at home in the Champions League. This will be the fifth meeting between Juventus and Chelsea, by the way, in the Champions League, with both teams recording one win each in the previous four, two draws in that one. Juventus won their most recent one in 2012-2013. That was 3-0, but this is a totally different Chelsea side. So, you know, all right, so quick betting tips then. What do you see here?
Yeah, I just want to mention, I didn't even bring up Morata. He's going to be out as well. So Moise Kean comes into the team. It's a big loss just in terms of once Ronaldo left, they were really building around Dybala and Morata, and now those guys are both gone. I think Ziyech and Havertz will probably sit in behind Lukaku. I think they're going to get back into what they know. And then I think it looks like N'Golo Kante and Kovacic will start. That's what I'm kind of seeing here in these predicted lineups on a couple of websites that I've seen. Locatelli obviously scored the game winner this past weekend for Juve. That's good for his confidence. So I'm very curious to see how this goes, but due to just the pragmatism of Thomas Tuchel and I think Maxi Allegri trying to make sure they shore things up, I just don't think we're going to see a lot of risk taking. Now that doesn't, I'm not trying to say that they're not going to potentially score on a set piece. I could see Juve and Bonucci or Chiellini or De Ligt or whoever's playing center back, you know, getting one on the end of a set piece, and that's what proves to be the difference. Or conversely, the same thing for Chelsea.
But it's 1-0. It's not going to
be. I think it's going to be really tight. And I think that, can I say the draw? Am I allowed to say the draw again?
Because You can say whatever you want.
Chelsea's the heavy favorite here, but I don't want to sleep on the momentum that Juve currently have. Despite they're giving up a lot of goals, they've got that little pep in their step, as I like to say, a little bit of that juice and a little bit more of that belief. Now, if they come in on the back of a few losses, then I'd be talking way heavy on Chelsea, but I think there's a little something there. And what Juve was known for many years was they never lose at home, and they have to regain that if they want to actually win the Scudetto or any trophy.
Especially
the draw is really good value, plus 245.
I have 0-0, so I don't know. I have 0-0.
0-0. I almost want to go to exact bets on that and see.
I just think it's going to be very cagey, 0-0, and you know, neither will be super upset, neither will be happy. But there it is. All right, let's go to Manchester United against Villarreal. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer out for revenge against Unai Emery. We will see. Manchester United lost to Aston Villa, and Villarreal drew with Real Madrid. What do you have here? This is a repeat of last season's Europa League final. What do you have?
So United have lost 3 out of the last 4 in all competitions, including match day 1 to Young Boys. So we have to bring that up. You know, they did themselves in. Jesse Lingard, hell of a pass to Jordan Pefuk for that winner. So Ole Gunnar, rightfully, I think, if you're going to manage one of the biggest clubs, it just comes to the territory. You're going to lose 3 out of the next 4 under fire. There's already great odds on who's going to come in to take over his job. What I find interesting about this one is that United's starting back line might not be available. Aaron Wan-Bissaka obviously got a red card on match day 1, so he's out. It looks like Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire picked up injuries in the last match weekend against Aston Villa. So you're just without 3 out of your 4 regulars. And that is interesting, because on the flip side, with the yellow submarine, Villarreal, Gerard Moreno, who wasn't the winning goal for Villarreal in their Europa League final. And he's going to be out. Samuel Chukwueze, who's one of the top, in my opinion, wingers in La Liga, he's out. You got Paco Alcacer. You got some players that I think end up becoming a little bit, I'd say, easier to mark, but maybe aren't as dynamic as some of the other players. Yeah. Gerard Moreno was on something fierce last season. So it looks like you're going to have a back line of Alex Telles at left back, Varane, Lindelof, which I'm kind of curious to see about that, and then Diogo Dalot playing right back. Obviously, all very serviceable, but how many reps have they gotten together as a group is really important. And then, as this is the main discussion for me when it comes to Manchester United, who's starting in the midfield? Are we going with a double pivot? Are we doing something different? You know, so is Matic playing? Because if Matic plays, though he keeps the ball really, really well, can't cover the ground that he used to, and he's not even that fast to begin with. Then you got Pogba potentially, Jadon Sancho, if he gets to start, another big opportunity for him, Fernandez, Greenwood, and Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, Ronaldo, I must say, has scored 13 goals in 19 career games against Villarreal. But only...
I would love to know the stat, Jimmy, also, of what happens when Ronaldo comes to a game after a game he didn't score. I wonder if,
especially the Champions League, because this guy owns this competition.
Exactly.
And also, who takes the next penalty for United if Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo are on the field? I think it has to be at this point.
Yeah,
but
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Emi Martinez is living rent-free.
He broke the whole club. I don't know if you saw a tweet. I don't know. He broke. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. All right, so give me your betting tips for this one very quick. I have Manchester United winning 2-1. I think they'll need a response. They're at home. They need to get it going. They're looking still for revenge from last time around. 2-1.
2-1. Now, this is against a Villarreal team that doesn't give up a lot of goals.
I know.
I just want to throw that in there. They just drew 0-0 with Real Madrid over the weekend.
But don't listen to me, everybody.
I'm just saying. I just want to make sure that people are considering what they're looking at and where they want to lean.
No, it's a good point. So what do you have?
I hate saying the draw. I really do. I think that United they're the heavy favorites on Caesar Sportsbook, minus 205. Mm. There might be some accumulation bet stuff that we've talked about before with accumulations. But let me say really quick, they say Cristiano Ronaldo hat-trick's got a boost to plus 2,000. That's not going to happen. Villarreal's not giving up 3 goals. So I love that they're trying to tease me with that, Caesar Sportsbook. You're such a tease. But minus 137 for Ronaldo to score anytime. I would almost consider maybe putting some money on him to score first. He likes to be in charge and like put a stamp on things early. Plus 250 is probably the best value you're going to get around for him. But if you're into accumulation bets, if you want to do exact scores, which we do on here from time to time, you could bet Man United to win 2-0. It's plus 700. Man United to win 2-1, plus 750. Man United to win 1-0. It's plus 750. And the draw, 1-1 plus 800. You can bet all four of those exact scores, put $10 on each, and you still come out a winner.
I like it.
If one of those four scores hits, of course.
I like it. So try and make that happen, everybody. And don't put your house on it. Just put a little
bit. $10.
Yeah, please.
Hopefully
please.
Your house costs more than $10.
Okay. All right, very quickly on Benfica, Barcelona. Barcelona looking good, of course, this past weekend, but still things are a little tense. And Benfica are a very good side as well. So, and they're at home and they're going to be using that energy of that stadium and the crowd to go against Barcelona and co. What do you see here, Benfica against Barcelona?
Well, I have put my flag in the ground just to remind everybody that I actually think Benfica will get second in this group and Bayern will get first and then Barcelona
you gotta live by this,
will
then.
Get third. I'm going to live or die with it. So this is obviously a very important game for Benfica to prove me right. This at home, where they have been good, they're unbeaten, as you mentioned. Barcelona obviously going to want to have a response after dropping some significant points and just getting embarrassed ultimately by Bayern Munich on match day one. They're coming off a good performance against Levante, who have a tradition of taking points off of the top teams in La Liga, but didn't really get it going. Obviously, I think the most important part is Ansu Fati scoring for the first time since coming back in 10 months. His first appearance, super sub. He probably won't start, but I could see him getting even more minutes. So that makes him a danger coming off the bench.
And just his energy and his influence overall just gives a lot of optimism for the vibe of the whole club, I think.
100%. And then Luke de Jong scoring his first goal for Barcelona. Like just getting, that's really important for goal scorers when they come to a new club. Like you got to get that first one out of the way, right? And I think that's important for him. But I just want to make note that Barcelona without Pedri, Martin Braithwaite, Sergio Aguero, Ousmane Dembele, Jordi Alba, it looks like Balde, the other left back, the young left back for them, is probably going to be out in this one, which means Serginho Dest will probably play on the left side. Something to keep in mind.
So it all falls to Memphis Depay then.
What's that?
It all falls to Memphis Depay.
Yeah, well, you got Coutinho. You got another Gavi, another youngster in there. De Jong didn't play against Levante. He's going to come back in. So you might have Mingueza playing out wide right in their back four. So that makes me a little bit like there are some areas where Benfica can get at them, and Darwin Nunez, as we know, can light up teams if he has the time and space to do so. And Barcelona does have a tendency of letting some players have more time and space than they should.
Love me some Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, I do. I'm the same. So they have some players that can hurt you. I'm like a draw machine in this one. I think that Benfica, for me to kind of hit this bet, would probably need to get all 3 points here. So I'm curious to see what their attitude is. How conservative do they come out? Or are they going out and trying to step on their throats right away? That's going to be the thing. And I think you can get at this back line. You got Mingueza, Araujo, Pique, and Dest. Two guys playing out of position. Two other guys that haven't looked entirely sharp. Obviously, Ter Stegen can stand on his head anytime and make plays to keep him in it. This is an interesting game for me. I don't see Benfica losing, to be honest. I'm just curious as to whether they can get all 3 points.
And the interesting thing is Barcelona won a response after that semi-professional performance. So they're going to need to do something. But to your point, Benfica, I also don't see losing. I can't remember where I predicted it on the website, but I don't see them losing. I don't know if it'll be a draw or not. Let's take a look.
I did saw this fun fact. I'm reading it right now and I forgot to bring it up. Benfica have not scored in any of their four previous meetings with Barcelona in the Champions League. So they're due, everybody. I think that's best way to look at that stat.
It's happening this time around because this is the first one without Lionel Messi.
That's true. Very true.
All right. Well, let's have a look at the remaining fixtures from Wednesday. By the way, we have the early kickoffs with Atalanta against Young Boys and Zenit against Malmo with another Peruvian, Sergio Peña, hopefully coming back. And then Bayern Munich against Dynamo, Salzburg, Lille, Wolfsburg, Sevilla. Anything that sticks out to you from those games?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about RB Salzburg and Lille. Lille, obviously, after winning Ligue 1 and losing their manager to Nice, have a bit of a dumpster fire. And RB Salzburg has who I think to be one of the most promising youngsters on the American team and the national team, and Brendan Aaronson. And I want to see him get as many minutes as possible in the play against the best teams and continue to prove himself. I thought he looked good against Sevilla on match day one. So I'm very biased in terms of which game I'm watching out of the rest. And because the other ones feel pretty one-sided. Atalanta should beat Young Boys at home. I say should. Zenit and Malmo, okay, it's fine. It's not my favorite game of the day. Bayern's probably going to win by like 18 goals. You know, Wolfsburg-Sevilla is actually kind of interesting because Wolfsburg
is pretty solid.
No John Anthony Brooks, though, because he got a red card. Wait, he's available in Champions League? He got a red card in Bundesliga.
No, he is available in that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm getting it all kind of tied up on that one. So I'm curious to see if he plays and how he plays because Sevilla, as you mentioned, yesterday in the recap are quietly very good. Not a big surprise, but we have to mention it again.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you gave me a very good segue for just the next talking point here as the Americans in the Champions League. Brendan Aaronson, of course, against Timothy Weah. McKenney, Juventus against Chelsea. There's PFOC, of course, with Young Boys facing Atalanta. John Brooks. We talked about Serginho Dest. We talked about Tyler Adams missed Saturday's game due to injury. So we'll see what happens with Leipzig. And
what makes me worried about that with Tyler Adams is that the team looked excellent without him in the, it makes me nervous because they won 6-0. I mean, Haidara, who was playing Tyler Adams' spot, was, I thought, the man of the match in that game, and he was tremendous. And so,
I mean, if there's somebody
I'm a little concerned.
And if there's somebody that knows Tyler Adams better than anybody, is of course Jesse Marsh as 100%. Well. So, but Pulisic remains out, Llorena, Stefan as well, all still injured. Anything from that? I know Brendan Aaronson, obviously, Timothy Weah, that's an interesting one, but. Let me ask you this for a second. Just, it's not in our notes, but I am intrigued to. Pulisic is worrying me a little bit right now. It's the the continuous injuries issues. And, you know, it's kind of, he's out for domestic competition, but then he comes back for international, but then he's out. Does it continue to worry you just how much he's always out?
Yes, it does. I think that was a concern last season where he was getting some momentum and then he was got out with a hamstring thing. And I remember being pretty early on in Tuchel's reign of Chelsea where I think he got hurt in a warm-up and you could just see Tuchel's body language was like,
it was frustrated.
Great. You know, like all of a sudden I'm giving this guy some minutes and he wants to, you know, to prove to me that he should be in the 11 and he can't even get through a warm-up without getting hurt, you know? And that feels pretty cynical to say it that way, but I would say that the rigors of playing every 3 or 4 days is got to be very tough, especially for a player like Pulisic, who does get kicked a lot, who does attract a lot of attention because he's so good in 1v1 situations. And so it's just going to, that accumulation of all that is going to be tough, especially if you're a little bit little like he is, I'd say, in comparison to some of the other players and maybe not as big as some of the other guys. So, but that's part of his strength, right? So it's just tough and if he's not 100%, we're never going to see the best version of him because when he's 100%, the guy's lights out.
Do you think he should sit out in the World Cup qualifiers just to beneficial for him to just take or do you think these qualifiers are too important? But then I'm just thinking long-term as opposed to, you know, short-term.
I'd say on paper, this is probably the best upcoming qualifying window to sit out. We don't play Mexico. We have two home games against the two bottom teams right now in CONCACAF. We play away to Panama, which he might not have get to play in anyway because of the UK regulations, right? So if this would probably be the best window to do that. I think they just have to assess and go from there. But we've already proven we got some other options that can step up and do the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not a good sign. Very similar to what Tyler Adams, you know, all of a sudden you go out of the lineup and the team starts kicking ass and you're like, oh, we can't survive without that guy, you know?
Forget about me.
Exactly, yeah. So it's an interesting game to play from both sides, the team perspective and obviously the individual. But yeah, ultimately, I'm nervous for him because even if he comes back, I still don't think, and this was a really interesting comment about what Thomas Tuchel said about Tammy Abraham. He's like, I don't trust him the way that I trust the other players. And that has got to be hard to hear as a player, that when your coach is saying that about you, and I get the sense about Pulisic, I don't know if he trusts him as a starter. I think he trusts him, but I think he trusts him more as a super sub because when Pulisic does come on, he does change games.
Of course.
When he gets the ball and runs at you and you've got tired legs, you're toast. I mean, you're toast more often than not when it's starting the game, he starts.
The problem
imagine
is,
if you have 60 minutes on your legs.
But the problem is 80% of success is showing up and you have to play. You got to just be there and show consistency. So it'll be something to definitely monitor in this one. By the way, that was our Champions League preview. Thank you so much. Look at all that crowd. Wait, I think I have is it this one? Oh, no, it doesn't matter because my producer has it anyway. Thank you so much, everybody. Final thoughts before we say goodbye and look ahead to the Champions League. Jimmy, anything else that you wanted to end with as we say goodbye?
I can't wait for the recap podcast. That's all I wanted to say because there's going to be a lot to unpack. I already know we're going to get some crazy referee calls and some upsets, and I just don't know which teams those are yet, but hopefully the Americans show up and do the job.
And we have some great guests as well, including Christine Uncle as well, who hopefully will get some crazy refereeing decisions as well. By the way, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and review, and make sure, by the way, that you stay with us throughout the entire time. We got recaps, as Jimmy said, weekend previews, and a lot of content as the USMNT and World Cup qualifiers come away with Jimmy and Heath, and so, so much more. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks, LME. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching. We appreciate you.
Enjoy the matches on Paramount Plus. We'll see you then.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.